Welcome to the Muswell Hill Methodist Church podcast. Today we'll be hearing Alex's message from our service on Sunday when we are looking at the theme during Lent on unbounded love based on the hymn Love Divine by Charles Wesley. The theme Alex looks at is pure and spotless, let us be. If you live in North London or are visiting, we would love to welcome you at our church, and you can find more details about us on our social media. Before we listen to Alex's sermon, let us hear from the Bible. Exodus 20, verses 1 to 17. Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven, above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, by showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien residents in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honour your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, male or female slave, ox, donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. Our New Testament reading is taken from John 2, verses 13 to 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple Aaron, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making the whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple with the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. The Jews then said to him, what sign can you show us for doing this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, the temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word that Jesus had spoken.
So, each week throughout Lent, we are focusing on a different line from the beloved hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling, that beautiful Wesleyan hymn. And this week we're focusing on the words, pure and spotless, let us be. I'd like us to start by listening to the whole of that verse, which talks about being made new in Jesus. And I often find that when I hear words that are familiar to me, words that I know well, but I listen them to a different tune, those words become fresh to me. They become very new. And so with that in mind, we're going to listen to the final verse of the hymn as performed by Rend Collective, who are a Northern Irish band. And they've written a lot of songs that mean a great deal to me. So let's listen to these words so that we can have them in our mind as we explore God's word together.
Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crimes before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
I love that hymn. I love that version particularly. I would have played the whole thing, but I really wanted us to sing it together later on in our service, so we will be singing the more traditional tune. But I would encourage you, if you get a chance, to go and listen to Wren Collective's Love Divine when you get home. So yeah, I love that hymn, and that is a common opinion for a Methodist to have. It's easily one of my favourites to turn to when I'm looking to connect with God. So let's jump in, pure and spotless. What does it mean to live pure and spotless? Is it a life untouched and uninvolved? Getting involved can seem so intimidating, particularly when we're talking about challenging the problems that we see in our world. My parents told me never to pick fights. They told me to be humble and turn the other cheek. It isn't surprising that so many of us find it difficult to engage with injustice when we see it. Maybe it's safer to not do anything. After all, a clean house can stay clean if we don't let people in or if we don't use the house. There's also that paralyzing fear of being wrong. What if I upset someone trying to help? What if I think I'm doing the right thing, but it turns out in the end that I wasn't? It can be so hard to commit to getting involved, but I don't think a spotless life should mean that we don't involve ourselves with helping those in need. We should remember that God sees what's going on in our hearts. God sees our intent. God sees when we're trying to help people and will guide us if we ask for that discernment. So in the hymn, we ask God to make us a new creation, remade, I think, with a passion for God's values burning within us. The Christian life, again, I think, is too much at odds with the world around us for us not to be challenging it. The way that advertisers want teenage girls to hate their bodies, the way our government wants us to look down on those in need, the wars and the occupations that our country supports. I don't believe that the Jesus of the Bible set an example that encourages us to look at these things and keep quiet. To paraphrase the philosopher John Stuart Mill, All that evil needs to succeed is for good people to do nothing. If we follow Jesus' example, it will take us striding up to injustice and disrupting it. And to paraphrase something I read on the internet, if anyone asks you, what would Jesus do? Remind them that flipping over tables and chasing people with a whip is within the realm of possibility. A pure and spotless disciple of Christ becomes that way by washing themselves in the river, by turning to Christ Jesus, asking for direction, asking for forgiveness, asking to be sanctified and set right again. It is a life that returns to the righteous path, a life that makes mistakes but improves. God has made clear what he expects from his people, and he's made clear what he won't tolerate. More than just the Ten Commandments, as helpful and strengthening as they are, we have examples of Jesus responding to any number of situations, case studies, examples of Jesus answering questions from all areas of life. And every time, it comes down to helping and empowering the downtrodden and making space for the outsider. Let's talk a little bit about what was going on in that gospel reading. In the temple that day, Jesus saw the outcasts of society being kept from God because they were being exploited by those in power. As people from all over traveled to Jerusalem to partake in the Passover festival, they would have come to the temple to buy animals for their sacrifices. What Jesus found were people cheating the oppressed out of their money. What he found were people overcharging people for the offerings that they needed. It was keeping the religion for the people that could afford it. The poor, who couldn't afford the prices and were being cheated, were being kept from God. Jesus saw the outcasts of society being kept from God because they were being exploited by those in power. Do you ever see this happening? Do you see the rules changing in places to keep certain people out? The prices of certain things rising, not because they're costing more to produce, but to keep them out of the hands of the wrong people. Do we ever see barriers like this in our church? Are there changes we could make to the way we do things to give more people access? So back to our hymn. Pure and spotless, let us be. Once, while I was training as a local preacher, I led an evening service where I spoke quite a lot about that hymn. And after the service, a minister who was there to report on me and see how I was doing gave me some advice. He told me that I was doing my theology in the pulpit, which basically meant that my message wasn't condensed enough, it wasn't clear enough. It felt like I was still working things out as I was saying them to the people. And I didn't understand it properly at the time, but looking back at that sermon, I can definitely see what he meant. And so I'll spare you that whole messy sermon and just give you the highlights. Since Charles Wesley wrote that hymn, there have been a large number of edits to it. In different hymn books, people change certain words, remove entire verses, because people thought that he was telling us that we could live perfect lives on earth, that we could be made immune to sin. They were concerned about lines such as our focus for this week, pure and spotless let us be. But in fact, what Wesley is referencing and celebrating here It's that single moment when we come before God and ask to be made clean. The beauty here isn't that we had the idea to come to God and ask for forgiveness. The beauty isn't in any delusion that God would take away our free will so that we'd be immune from sinning. No, the beauty is in the power of that moment, that no matter what we have done, God is willing to look past it, to look into the deepest part of ourselves, to find that essence of himself that he placed in each one of us, and give us that opportunity to walk with him again. So what does this mean for our journey in Lent? In a Methodist way of life, we are encouraged to challenge injustice as an act of discipleship. And if we look at our Methodist calling on the banner here and other places, you might see it, is actually considered to be in the service category. Why? Because so much less about punishing people who get it wrong, this challenging action is so much more about standing up for those in need. Because the marginalized communities in our world need us. Because we can be of service to our neighbors by challenging the people and the systems that oppress them. And this is what it means to be a justice-seeking church. I wasn't here last week. I was visiting my parents, but I had the absolute privilege of watching last week's service on YouTube. It was incredible to watch. For anyone who missed it, Muswell Hill hosted another church who caters specifically for people with learning disabilities. This is exactly the kind of thing God has called us to do when we decided to become an inclusive church, removing barriers from anyone to come to God. Wave, church, we are all valued equally. And if we believe this, then there should be room at the table for everyone. And isn't there? Does our God not have the power to remove sin from anyone? Is God not universal enough to be found everywhere and live in all our hearts? Is there not the power in Jesus' name to break every chain? Let's stop limiting God and to stop limiting ourselves and live boldly Christian lives wherever we go, speaking truth to power, challenging justice, and yes, maybe even flipping a few tables. Let's pray. God of the oppressed, we pray for a renewal in our lives, a renewal that strips us of fear and shapes us into disciples who are ready to challenge injustice in our world. Change us from glory into glory, ever growing in our understanding of your chain-breaking will and ever growing in our willingness to accept your call. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that as we continue to upload sermons, prayers, podcasts, interviews and more, that you find something for you here. Please feel free to follow our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Music so that you can hear when we upload new episodes. Until next time, God bless you.